So you see how this works. For an empiricist, this is the kind of proof you want. You want to be able to observe something in the world that is evidence of God's existence. So we see these things which seem to be designed, right? They work a little bit like machines. And a machine has a designer, right? A machine operates for a purpose, and that the fact that it has that purpose, it's designed for that purpose, shows that it's designed by some mind, by ourselves, right? We're the minds who design machines. Well, the world as a whole seems to be designed, and therefore is witness to or evidence of a designer, an intelligent designer, a divine mind. Now, this argument from design, therefore, is based on an analogy between two different kinds of cause and effect relationship. And it's interesting that once again we're getting back to cause and effect. The notion is that just as the design of a watch, for instance, is a machine that is evidence for the existence of a watchmaker, a designer, so also the purposive functioning of an eye, the fact that it achieves the purpose of vision, is evidence for the existence of an intelligent designer, which is God. Now, that means that there's some kind of similarity between the way God designs things and the way we design them, right? There's an analogy between the divine mind and our mind. Now, Demia, remember the Orthodox guy who thinks that God is incomprehensible, protests. He says, no. The divine mind is not comprehensible to us, right? We cannot say that God's mind is like our mind. We cannot have this analogy, this similarity between God, a designer, and us. His mind is way beyond us. It's incomprehensible, beyond rationality. And Philo, again, the skeptic, ironically agrees. Yes, you're making your God too much like us. You're making God in our own image, Cleanthes, he says. Right? This argument from design makes God too much like us, as if we were inventing God in our own image. And in fact, this similarity between your divine designer and human designers actually works against you, Philo suggests. Because, after all, the world doesn't behave like a perfect machine, right? This is a watch that breaks down, right? There's destruction, suffering, evil in the world, right? It's not a perfectly working bit of machinery. Philo suggests it's more like a ship than like a watch, right? A ship has many builders, right? Not just one designer. It has many builders. So this would be an argument for paganism, right? It's a ship and it leaks, right? It's not always working. It leaks and there's things broken in it. So it's sort of like the world is this vessel that's built by half-competent workmen. Right, this would be an argument, Philo suggests, for some kind of paganism where you have a bunch of gods fighting over stuff and the result is this kind of leaky vessel that isn't as good as it should be, but hey, it's good enough to live in. So, well, the point is, you see, that the argument from design doesn't get you to quite the place that Cleanthes wants. Right? Maybe there's design in the world, but it doesn't prove that the designer is all good. It doesn't prove that there's only one designer. And what Hume is trying to do here, I think, is to get us thinking about this analogy between ourselves as causes of a machine and God as cause of the universe. How close is that analogy? Is the world really like a machine? Does it really look that way? There's a related logical point about causality, and that's Hume's criticism of what he calls singular causal claims. You see, our reasoning about cause and effect is based on patterns, repeated patterns, right? So we can't say much about cause and effect when the cause-effect relationship has happened only once, which is the way it is with the creation, right? God only created the world once. So we don't have a whole set of statistical samples to talk about the causal pattern here. It's not like our experience of billiard balls, where we've seen the interaction happen so many times that we can expect that it will happen again. The creation happens only once. In fact, in another of Hume's books, called The Inquiry into Human Understanding, he suggests a thought experiment, which actually goes back to John Milton in Paradise Lost. Imagine Adam or Eve coming upon a lake for the first time, right? They've just been created. They come upon a lake. They look in it. They can see the reflection, right? But they don't understand what they're looking at because they've never seen this kind of thing before. They've had no experience of this kind of thing before, no repeated pattern of cause and effect relationships. So, for instance, they don't know, Adam or Eve, that if they jumped into this lake, they might drown, right? That this beautiful surface that reflects their own image might kill them if they jump into it and don't know how to swim, right? They have no experience to go by. In order to make inferences about cause and effect in the world of experience, you need repeated patterns. And we've got no repeated patterns to go by to make inferences about the kind of cause and effect relationship that holds between God and the world.